Well, as I've mentioned a few times last fall, we began this strategic planning process here at West Valley. Thanks to Delta and Omicron, it's taken a little bit longer than we had hoped, but things are still moving forward. On Sunday, May 22nd, we have a congregational meeting. And at that meeting, we're going to share some details about what we have planned and also how you can be a part of it, which is also very key. And now, one of the things we did when we kicked off our planning was we had a church-wide survey that many of you completed. Now, this is always a bit dangerous, but we presented with you a chance to share your thoughts. There was space in the survey to make comments. There was a box at the end where you could ask more general questions. And here is one of the things one person asked. When are we going to get our own building? Maybe some of you had that question, some of you wrote it. And it is a great question. We've been around since 2008, and for the whole time we have met in rented facilities. Well, I'm pleased to announce this morning that we are indeed committing ourselves to a 3-year building project. But before even the elders get taken off guard with what I'm about to announce, this is not quite what you think. I'm not talking about building a physical facility. I'm sorry if that disappoints you. I'm talking about something that actually is far more lasting and something far more significant, something that will never suffer from a leaky roof, something that will never need repainting or recarpeting. The building project I'm talking about is the one that we read about here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look down at verse 4 again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, that is to Jesus Christ, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Look at verse 5. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house. Here, Peter uses the analogy of a building to describe the church. Jesus is the cornerstone of that house, and the house is made up not of bricks. No, it's made up of people. Peter is telling us that God himself is engaged in a worldwide building project. Through Jesus Christ, he's building people into a temple, a place for him to dwell and show forth his power and his mercy to the world. And God's building project includes us here at West Valley. In fact, since West Valley was planted in 2008, God has been at work laying a solid foundation for us. A foundation of biblical teaching, of Christ-centered worship, of welcoming community. And now God is calling us to continue as fellow workers in his building project. And this is going to be our plan for the next 3 years. With God's help, we're going to build something lasting on the solid foundation that God has given us. And that building involves three dimensions. In fact, we see all of those dimensions in our text today. What are these three dimensions? Well, we can think of them as three directions. As God built his church, there is an upward, inward, and outward component. He's building us up, growing us to maturity in Jesus Christ. He's building us in. He's establishing us in Christ-centered fellowship together as his people. And thirdly, he's building us out. He's using us to reach the lost through us, advancing his mission of bringing new stones into his building. God is building his church, and he's calling us to be a part of that. And so in the run-up to our meeting on May 22nd, we're going to be spending the next few weeks in this chapter. And week by week, we're going to unpack each one of those elements, the upward, the inward, and the outward elements of this building project. But before we do that, this morning I want to get one thing straight. This morning I want to give us a kind of overview of it. More than that, I want us to be clear about the foundation of God's building. Like any other building project, if there are flaws in the foundation, then we are asking for trouble. And no matter how grand or expansive the project is, unless we build on solid ground, things are doomed to failure. And so it is with our own lives, with our families, and with our congregation. We know that story of Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount about the wise and foolish builders. Unless we build on the foundation of Christ himself, everything we attempt will not only fail, but will in fact be counterproductive to God's purposes. And the good news is the announcement of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Everything we do needs to be based on who he is and what he has done for us. And that comes out so clearly in our text, doesn't it? Look again at verse 4. What's the central thing we learn in verse 4 about God's building project? What we learn is this, as we come to him, As we come to Jesus Christ, we're being built into a spiritual house. And if you don't take anything else away from this morning's message, I want you to memorize those words, as we come to him. Only as we come to him are we built up to maturity. Only as we come to him are we built into community. Only as we come to him are we equipped to build out and to help others experience his great mercy. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus who was rejected by man, but who in the sight of God is chosen and precious. Jesus who suffered and was crucified for our sins, but Jesus who was raised on the third day, the risen and reigning King who now sits on the throne of the universe. This is what God is doing in the world today. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever looked at the news and considered, what on earth is God doing? Well, this is what God is doing. He's building his church by drawing people to Jesus Christ, calling people away from living their own way, to bow the knee to him as their king and as their savior. And this is what history is all about. This is why the clock is still ticking. And so when it comes to God's building project, we need to understand Jesus is everything. And so let's, for a few moments, consider what that means. Let's, in fact, consider what it means for each of those three areas. What does it mean that Jesus is the foundation of being built up, built in, and building out? In fact, let's work through those in turn. And the first thing we're going to see is this. Only as we come to him are we built up. Only as we come to him do we grow to maturity. Only the good news of Jesus Christ is the foundation for true maturity. And I have to say, spiritual maturity is something that most of us want. This is one of the advantages of doing a congregational survey. I can now use the results of those surveys against you. The point is, 68% of you listed discipleship, growing deeper spiritually, as the number one priority that you have for this church. And this isn't only something we seek for ourselves. Many of you also listed reaching the next generation, seeing our children and youth grow up in Christ. And now there are so many great things going on in these areas already. We're committed to biblical teaching here on Sunday morning, and in our small groups, we've already acknowledged the solid work of our nursery and our Sunday school. We are so thankful for the gifts that God has given us here, for Karen, for the work of all our teachers. And as I said, that is most of you. But at the same time, we have this sense, I think, that we need to be doing something more. To be frank, most of us feel weak. We feel like spiritual babes. We feel helpless before the juggernaut of an unbelieving culture. We and our children are constantly barraged by so many voices pulling us to conform. We need to be changed and transformed, as Peter puts it, to offer our lives as a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God rather than acceptable and pleasing to our godless world. We have this sense that we need to invest more time, more energy, more resources in having our minds renewed. When it comes to the way we think about our work, our marriages, our families, even our own identities, we see this need to have our minds and our hearts shaped by God's word. We need to develop Christian character to see the fruit of the Spirit grown in our lives. We need building up, don't we? Does this resonate with you at all, this idea we need to be built up? It did when you took the survey, so I'm pretty sure none of you really lied. I think this is true. And so we have to ask how. How are we going to do this? How are we going to be built up? And automatically, I think our mind tends to immediately run to different programs. We need to have some more seminars. We need some training sessions. We have to have some retreats. That's something many of you would love, you've shared this. Many of you would love to see us have an adult Sunday school, more time to hear God's word as grown-ups, more time for our kids as well to receive biblical teaching. And listen, I'm not going to give anything away, but these things might be part of the plan. I don't want to spoil any surprise. But before we talk about plans and programs, what we need to understand is this. If we think that maturity in Christ is going to somehow come about through programs, then the truth is we are fools. And maturity comes not through a program. No, we learn here in 1 Peter 2 that maturity comes through a person. As you come to him, you are being built up. Without him, we could literally spend every waking moment in Bible classes and training seminars, and all of that would be completely and utterly worthless. You see, the church is not a college or a seminary. We aren't really in the business of education. We aren't in the business of education, but rather in the business of edification, of building people up, of not just informing their heads, but training their hearts and their hands also. We want to see lives change, don't we? And no Sunday school hour is ever really going to do that. Unless, of course, that Sunday school hour and those seminars and all those various things are about connecting people to Jesus Christ, so that through the proclamation of his word, in prayerful dependence on his spirit, we seek to see him work in his people patiently over time. Only Jesus Christ can build us up. He, the risen and exalted Lord and Savior, is the hope for maturity in our own lives and for our families. Only as we turn to him and come to him are we going to grow as his disciples. Only as we take up our cross and follow him, that's how we grow. And that seems an obvious point, doesn't it? But it's one so easily we forget. We start to put our trust in other things. If only I read enough books, if only I do enough classes. And as we'll see next week, when we do this, we develop a distorted view of maturity as well. We forget that true maturity doesn't mean having all of our problems solved or having all of the answers. True maturity, in fact, often creates all kinds of new problems as we stop living for ourselves and start living for Jesus Christ and serving other people. More on that next week, but for now consider this. Only as we come to him are we built up. Only as we come to Jesus Christ can we grow as mature people. But secondly, notice how it is only as we come to him that we're built in. Only as we come to him are we built in. What I mean is, only as we come to Christ do we experience true community. Here the focus is much more on connection and relationship, on our life together. And the need for deeper connections is something that has really clearly come out, especially during the last 2 years. This is something the survey showed as well. We see a need for this. In fact, while discipleship or growth in maturity came in as number one on that list of top priorities, what was there in number two? Well, the answer is relationships. And most of us desire to grow in relationships within the church. And most of us know we can't live the Christian life alone. Neither should we, according to 1 Peter 2, and neither do we have to. The very image of being built up into a spiritual house illustrates this point, doesn't it? God's plan is to bring us together rather than just leave us as individual stones strewn by the roadside. As we come to him, we are built up, we're built in, we're built together. As we come to him, we find in verse 9, we become a new race, a priesthood, a nation, a people, all of which capture a sense of our collective identity. And this focus on our lives together rather than merely our individual lives is such an important thing for our community. And what we all sense, I think, is that we could be doing better at this. We could be doing better at expressing this corporate collective identity. We need to take steps, practical steps, to grow in community. And to be clear, I should say we do need to do this, but I'm not saying in that West Valley is not a welcoming church. We certainly are. In fact, to be honest, I'm often quite amazed when I hear about the ways in which you are loving and caring for one another as a church family. I feel the same way that Paul must have felt when he wrote to the Thessalonian believers. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, he writes, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God how to love one another." But even that church receives this note as Paul continues to write. He says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more." Loving one another is never something that we graduate from, never something at which we arrive. This is an area in which we can always grow, especially as God brings more people amongst us. We want to see those people built in to deep community in Christ. And I think there are ways that we can help with this structurally, aren't there? Things we can do programmatically to deepen our relationships and connections. I don't know if you remember, but right before COVID, we actually tried a few things. We divided people up into geographical groups, and then we hosted a few dinners, and we even had a church lunch with color-coded tables. The aim was to help you connect in organic ways, ways with people who live closer, so that you might start perhaps longer-term relationships. Maybe we could do something like that again, and certainly another thing we could do with investing in is our small groups. And all of these are great ideas. Maybe they're part of the plan. Again, I'm not revealing too much, remember. But again, I need to make the same essential point, don't I? If when it comes to building community here at West Valley, we put our trust in programs, then really we have lost the plot completely. Again, community, true community, is not built on a program. It's built on a person. As you come to him, you are built in. He is the only one who can really bring us together. And if we miss this, any attempt to build community will fail. In fact, a bigger tragedy would be that it would succeed in one sense, because that success would really be failure. You see, it can be very tempting to try and build community on something other than Christ, can't it? We could easily unite people around some common cause or some other shared interest. We could simply try and build a community around the basic fact that all of us have unmet social needs. People are lonely, and so why don't we just create some ways for people to get together and experience some community? But to do that, I think, is a disaster. In fact, if that is why you come to church, if you come to church primarily to exist, if you come to church primarily to meet your relational needs, then I encourage you to stop coming. Please don't bother being here. Peter doesn't say, as you come to church, your relational needs will be met, does he? No, he says, as you come to Jesus, God will build you into his community. And here we see, in fact, that community is not really the goal, is it? In one sense, we could say that community is a byproduct of what God is doing. The goal is that through Jesus Christ, we'd come to worship and glorify God. But that we'd come to worship and glorify God together as his people. The goal is not to find myself in community, but rather to give myself away, to die to myself in serving God and in serving the people around me. And listen, this kind of community, true Christian community, is something that is open to everyone as well, isn't it? When it comes to the church God is building, it includes all kinds of people. This is something that you can never do if you build your community around some particular cause or some shared interest. If our shared interest is Jesus Christ himself, then really that could include everyone, couldn't it? And no matter how old they are or young they are or whatever they're interested in or whatever sports team they happen to support. In fact, this is something we said at Easter, if you were here, when I spoke about this desire to belong. Only in Christ do we see that our background doesn't matter, because in him we now have a new identity. Only in Christ do we find it isn't our pedigree or a performance that defines who we are. No, Christ himself has made a way in that is open to all of us, no matter who we are. And so whatever attempts we make to build people in, let's make sure we seek to build a Christ-centered community. He needs to be the foundation of every church lunch, every dinner, every small group. All of our relationships should be built on him as our foundation. It is as we come to him that we are built up, and it's as we come to him that we are built into community. But thirdly and finally, it is only as we come to him that we can build out also. Only as we come to him can we build out. That is, it's vitally important to think about how we are building bridges out into our community. To focus as a church just on our personal growth or growing in fellowship would be to miss the point. In fact, it would be to imply that we're not really acting like the church at all, that we're just some sort of mutual appreciation society. Rather, we'd be like some sort of school or maybe some ingrown club. But God's plan is not for the church to become that. No, rather, through the church, he is making an impact on the world. The building isn't finished yet, so we shouldn't behave as if the building is. As Peter puts it in verse 9, we see what that building is for as well. Look down at verse 9, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is central to the mission of the church. In Christ, we have the only hope for the world. In Christ, we've been called together to be his witnesses. And let's be honest, I think all of us acknowledge this is an area where we are weak as a church. Not that many of us are not committed to loving and reaching out to our families and neighbors for Christ. I know that so many of us are. Rather, the point is we could be more effective at this, couldn't we? On the one hand, we could do more in terms of our outreach together as a church, and we could form better partnerships in our community, organize more outreach events. Now, on the other hand, we could do much more to help one another, to help each other be equipped in our personal evangelism also. We need to develop a culture as a church where evangelism is normal, where evangelism is expected. After all, we want to see people converted, don't we? I mean, we sometimes shy away from saying such a thing, but if we do, I think we've missed the point. This is the whole point of 1 Peter 2 in one sense. It's the whole point of the Bible, of the message of the gospel. Don't we understand what God is doing? As people come to him, to Jesus Christ, he's building his church. In fact, ever since the beginning, this has been the plan, to gather a people to himself, people from every tribe and tongue and nation who will enjoy him and reflect him to this world. Now, we need to do a lot more thinking and praying about this, don't we? This is a key way in which we need to change, possibly the area in which we as a church need to change the most. And I confess, it's not just an area that we need to change as a church, but an area where I need to change, where we need to change personally. And how will this change come? How will this change come? How will we be more effective in building out for Jesus? Well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Is this going to come through programs? Can we become more effective at reaching out through developing a strategic plan? Well, in one sense, yes, we do have to take actual practical steps if we're going to make improvements. But in a key way, no. And not really. Not unless that plan is built on a central person. You see, Christ himself is the only one who can motivate us. He's the only one who can move us. He's the only one who can equip us for building out. We could have all of the most amazing events and all the most amazing outreach events in the world, but no one's going to come unless we're motivated to invite them. In fact, you could ask this. You could say, if we're not truly focused on Jesus Christ, in terms of our outreach, what will that look like? What will our efforts look like in terms of reaching our community? The answer is we might spend a lot of time engaging the community, involved in all kinds of truly amazing work. But at the same time, I think we could say this, that there's not really going to be much actual evangelism, is there? No one is going to be called to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe through numerous programs, more people will end up coming to church, and I suppose that's great, but is the church actually being built? No. Why? Because people coming to church doesn't necessarily mean people coming to Christ. And we find that the church is built in this way, as we come to him. It's as we come to him that we're being built into this spiritual building. And that is why everything we do must be centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to keep proclaiming Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior, the risen and exalted King. We need to keep that proclamation central, don't we? And we have to accept that for some people that is going to be a stumbling block, and that's okay. He is the stone rejected by men. Popularity cannot be our goal. Not only in the past was he rejected, but also people today look at Christ and they dismiss him as if he were just some worthless hunk of rock. But while he is rejected by man, he is chosen and precious in God's sight. God has made Jesus Christ the cornerstone of his kingdom. And listen, it's not going to do any good in our desire to build out if we are sort of embarrassed by our chief cornerstone. What we never want to do is water down the message of Christ. We never, even for a second, want to do anything that would make Jesus Christ more palatable or more acceptable to people. Even if doing such a thing would bring a million people in, for doing so would actually undermine the very reason for our existence. We want to build bridges out, and I think we have to be creative about this, don't we? We want to build bridges together in terms of church initiatives, programs. We also want to be better equipped to build personal bridges into our friends and family groups. But the purpose of these bridges needs to be clear. The main aim is to bring people to Jesus Christ. And why wouldn't we want to bring people to Jesus Christ? As we see in him, we have become God's people. In him, we've received God's amazing mercy. We want to bring people to him so that they can be built up, so they can be built in as living stones, even so that they too can begin to play their part in God's building project, building out themselves. For us to fail to do that would really be a disaster, wouldn't it? I mean, as we close, it might be helpful to consider this. Where would we end up if we focused on building up and in and out, but we lost sight of the fact that Christ is the foundation in each of these areas? Maybe you would have a church that looked like a seminary or a Bible college with lots of classes and discussions, and people can learn lots of stuff. Maybe you'd have a community where people just form little cliques around common interests in sports or knitting or their favorite social causes. Maybe you'd have a church where everyone feels they belong, but no one actually believes in the gospel of Jesus. And I'm sorry to say, I could actually be describing countless churches around the country, couldn't I? Except they're hardly worthy of the name. Because sure, people have built something great, a great human institution, but are they a part of God's building project? No. Why? Because amid all the building, they've lost sight of the only true foundation. May God keep us from this as a church. If that is where we end up in all of the planning that we've done and some plan we've come up with, then I honestly think it would be a crime against humanity. Ever since our church was planted, God has been at work. He's laid a foundation, building people up, building people in, building some bridges out. For us to move away from the foundation of Christ, that would be the greatest of tragedies. And so as we think about what lies ahead, let's not stumble on the stone of Jesus Christ. Let's not ignore or dismiss his centrality. Instead, together as living stones, let's build upon the living stone, the cornerstone, our King and our Savior. As Peter says, it is as we come to him that we're built up into a spiritual house. And this is what we need to be committed to as a church, to be fellow workers in God's building. And so to answer the question again, are we planning to build a building anytime soon? Well, in one sense, no, not really quite yet. We're not necessarily focused on a physical facility. But in another sense, yes. Building the church of Jesus Christ upward, inward and outward. But as we build, let's not forget this. Jesus is the only foundation. He must be central to anything and everything. We are built only as we come to him. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you so much that you have in Christ laid a cornerstone, a solid foundation for us to be built up as your people, to be built in to community together and to build out into the community around us. Lord, we acknowledge that cornerstone is unpopular, rejected by men, but has been raised and exalted as our King and Savior. And we pray that he who is chosen and precious to you would always remain chosen and precious to us, that we'd build our lives on Jesus Christ, that we'd build our church on Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.